Good morning. It's good to see so many here. I just want to say that Joyce and I are going to rush off right after the service because we have an appointment, not because we don't like you. Would you turn with me to the book of Philippians? Chapter 4. I'm going to read a portion of scripture that was read in the earlier service. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And we read here, Paul was saying to the Philippian believers, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." Particularly want to emphasize verse 5, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And would you also go to Matthew chapter 6 with me? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. What you will wear is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown away into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Shall we pray? Father, this morning as we are here to hear your word, we pray that you'll just open up our understanding of it so that it'll have an application in our everyday life. We pray, Father, that we might pay attention to what you say to us, and we might, as we've been told, put it into practice. So we look to you for your help, Lord. You know that anything that I say will be of no value unless you, by your Spirit, work in each of our hearts. So I pray this for this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I've often said that anything that a biblical counselor talks about to people should be also talked about from the platform. So Brian sort of took me up on that and said, "Well, why don't you?" So this morning, I thought I would talk about worrying. Now, when we talk about worrying, there are a lot of different words that are used in connection with the subject. One word is fear, and fear really has to do with something, an emotional response that we have that's directly related to an immediate situation, usually to a real perceived danger. So in the middle of the night, you hear the door opening. That's a perceived danger. and you are afraid. That's reasonable, and that's actually, fear is God-given. It motivates you to be cautious where there's real danger and to take rational action. And then there is worry. Worry is not so much about, I'm just setting up how I'm using these words, worry is not so much about the immediate, but worry tends to be about the tomorrow. If you notice that in verse 34 of Matthew 6, Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient is the day. So worry tends to take us into the future. We start to worry about things that might happen. They may not happen, but we worry about them anyhow. Then there are words like indifference. Indifference means I just don't give a care about anything. Now, sometimes a few people can do that, but we have to try pretty hard to be indifferent. And there's one other word that I want to mention is concern. Concern is a biblical thing. We are to be concerned. There are many things that we are to be concerned about. But I went through a number of verses that talked about concern and saw that that's a topic on its own. But concern usually has to do with my concern about somebody else, not so much about myself. But we do worry sometimes, and we should. Why? Because God told us not to. And when God tells us not to do something and we do it, what do you call that? Sin. That may sound a bit harsh, but I didn't make it up. God said 6 times in that portion I read in Matthew, do not worry. It's a moral command, and when I break one of God's moral commands, I sin. I'm supposed to live my life as Jesus lived his life, and he didn't worry. So when my life is not consistent with his life, I sin. You know, I struggled with the topic. Yesterday, as I was driving somewhere, I listened on the radio to all the news about the flooding. And I thought to myself, can I really talk about not worrying when there are people whose houses are being threatened by a flood? I have to confess that then I began to worry, because I thought about, not about yesterday, about today. And so I had to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, just let me say the right things tomorrow. So, yes, I have to admit that God has never given me any great thing to worry about. But I do a pretty good job of worrying about little things sometimes. And, you know, there are important things that we worry about, that some people have to worry about. Health, future, financial situations, maybe a straying teenager. Those are important things. But the fact that they're important doesn't mean that we should worry. And then there are some non-important things that we sometimes worry about. Things that really are in the overall picture are not important at all. Maybe I worry about how I look. I worry about the impression I'm making on people. I worry about if people will like my house or my food. There are all kinds of little non-important things that we worry about. And so the Bible actually refers to those as lusts. You know, we use the word lust in a very narrow way in modern English. It usually has to do with sex or money. But lust is anything that we really want badly. And so we find ourselves worried about the important things and about the non-important things. I could talk to you for ages about the consequences of worrying, but I would like to just talk about why we worry. What is at the root of my worry? If it's sinful, I don't want to do that. But what is at the root of my worry? Well, one good excuse that people come up with is, it's just me, it's my personality, you see. And it's true that some people have personalities that will tend to make them worry more than others. And we should have empathy with those kind of people. But it's never true that we can use one of those tendencies to excuse our sin. God has promised us that in every circumstance, he will provide peace and a way out. Remember Jesus said in John 16, and you don't need to turn to it, but in this world you will have trouble. So there will be things, there will be trouble. But then before that, he said, I have told you all these things so that in me you may have peace. And then you also, we've been told by Paul, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, that we're all tempted, we're all tested. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. So my conclusion is that the peace that we can have in Jesus, or the way out, is not restricted to some people. It's available to all people, including those who have a tendency to worry. So if I can't use my personality as an excuse, what is the problem? And I believe the Bible points out a number of interrelated, deeply rooted spiritual problems that could be at the base of it. You know, one of the things that I come across in is people will say, are you saying I'm not spiritual? No. What I'm saying is that you may not be spiritual in some aspects of your life. You may not be allowing I may not be allowing the Lord to have control of some aspects of my life. One of the things that I'll suggest is the cause of our worrying that, and I'll speak for myself, my life gets too organized around the wrong things. So, the Bible says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things, not on earthly things. Notice what he says, set your hearts and your minds on spiritual things, on heavenly things. Isn't it true that when the things that cause me to worry and be anxious are not the things that are from above? Isn't it true that they're more the things that are related to this earth? They're not those things that concern his kingdom and his righteousness. Some of these things may be important, they may be very real, but they're only temporary. And the Bible tells us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Isn't it true that the things that you and I worry about really have very little to do with the eternal things, and they are more related to things down here? I forget that this is temporary. So in addition to those important things that I need to get my mind away from, and get my mind retransferred to the spiritual things, the things that are eternal and real. As I said earlier, I may worry about some very non-important things. Think about this. What you worry about? For a moment, just think about it. What do you worry about? Do you ever write down what you worry about? It's a good thing to do. Make a list of the things that you worry about. Because when you look at the things you worry about, what you're being given a window into your heart. You're thinking sort of like this. Your worrying will tell you, there are certain things I think I need in order to be happy. There are certain things that I absolutely want in order to be happy. And there are certain things that I don't want in my life in order to be happy. And so you set that up as things that you think about. And then you start to worry about. You know, the Greek word for worrying means to be ripped apart. As I say, there's nothing wrong with being concerned, but when you start to be ripped apart, when you start to have meltdowns, when you start to, you can't face the responsibilities of life because of your worrying, that thing that is so important to you that you're worrying about has become the master of your life. It's one of the lusts of the flesh. The Bible says all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Or again, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your God. These lusts and passions are not necessarily evil things in themselves, but they are things that start to master our lives. It's so often that our lust to perform well, to be well thought of, to be somebody, that makes us feel anxious. And so what happens is, we think of those things that I think I really need in order to be happy. I think of those things that I want in order to be happy. I think of those things I'm going to try to avoid in order to be happy. And then I try to build my life around to manipulate and to control certain events so those things either come or don't come. And often I try to manipulate the people around me too in order to get them or to avoid them. So what you worrying is really when I try to take control of present events to organize future events. And you see, God is a God of today. He doesn't give strength for the future events. He gives strength for the day. And that's why Jesus said, sufficient is the day. You got enough trouble for today, and I will give you strength for today. But I am not promising you strength for those things that you're worrying about tomorrow. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons that people get panic attacks and ulcers in their stomach and so on is because when you worry, there's an extra supply of energy and chemicals produced in your body. But because the event that you're worrying about is tomorrow, you can't do anything about it today, so you've got the extra supply of energy and chemicals in your body, and they've got nowhere to go but to attack you personally. So one of the problems behind worrying is that our lives are organized around the wrong things. We think about the wrong things. I'm going to suggest that there's another one. There's something lacking in my relationship with the Lord. Oh, I can say all the right things. I can say things like, I'll just rehearse some Bible truth, or I'll remind myself of the promises God makes, or I'll remind myself that I'm a child of God, or I'll just trust God. But then I worry. So what's wrong? These things don't work in my life if they're merely mental tricks or truisms that have never been sort of spiritually internalized in my life. In order to trust somebody, I must know them very well. And I think there is the big problem in worrying. If you've been in any of the counseling talks, you've heard me quote this verse. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now notice this, for our godly life, everything we need for a godly life, so that would be everything that we would need to not worry, but we get it through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption or the selfish lusts in the world caused by evil desires. In order to trust Jesus, in order to trust God, it's more than just singing God is good. And that's, I'm glad we sang it. He is good. But it's also more than just singing God is all I need. It's more than that. In order to trust Him, I must know Him really well. In order to know Him, I have to spend time with Him. At His feet, be at His feet. Remember Mary in the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Being at His feet is more than coming to church. Being at His feet is more than going to Bible study and prayer meeting. Being at His feet is more than participating in youth groups and Bible conferences and camps. Those are all good things. But being at His feet is being alone with Jesus. How much time do you and I spend alone with Jesus? Where we literally talk to Him and ask Him questions and He answers us. If we unpackage 2 Peter 1:3, we read there that it's through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So I have to start to spend time with Him and learn about His glory. When is the last time I spent time learning about the glory of Jesus, of the glory of God, the attributes of God. And I would suggest to every one of us that a great thing to do would be to take a systematic theology book and go down and study the attributes of God. And there you will learn something about his wisdom, something about his holiness, something about his love and his power. We've got a God who is able to control all events. And as I go through the process of learning about those things, his divine nature now becomes very real to me, and I can operate in the good of it. And then when I operate in the good of it, I can avoid those evil thoughts and evil desires that I need, that corrupt me and spoil my life. We can't take control of the future, that's for sure, but we can get to know the person, the Lord Jesus, God. We can get to know him. And he's the one who controls the future. I have found for myself that as I get to know the Lord a little better, the gap between what I profess to believe and what I actually do believe becomes smaller. And I am now able to relate to some of those promises and so on. Some of you will remember this verse from the Psalms. As for God, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. It's only as I know him well enough to be able to say, as for God, his way is perfect. Can I literally say that? I may not be able to understand the future or even my present circumstances, but I do believe in the wisdom of the one who's allowing those circumstances. And then the promises start to come that have real meaning to me. For example, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. Again, another psalm. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Do I really feel that way, that God is faithful in everything that he's allowing in my life? As I get to know him, I will feel that way. Another one. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. He's not talking here about the salvation of our souls. He's talking about salvation from problems. And then this one. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. As I get to know him, and only as I get to know him, can I truly say, his way is perfect and he is great. And then one final promise, he says, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. We've got a great God. We need to get to know him better and trust him more. You'll notice that each of those verses, or psalms that I just read to you, refer to him as the Lord. And the Lord, there's a lot of different meanings we can give to that title, but all the meanings that we give to it suggest that he is sovereign. He's the one who is above all others. He is the one who's in control. But unless I know him and trust him, I'll hold back giving him that position in my life. And then I'll worry, because I don't see that he's in control. As sovereign, as the one who has the right and control of every event in the universe, he orchestrates all the events of life for two reasons, his purposes and my good. But you see, if I don't know him and don't trust him, I'm not going to let him or be content with his orchestration. I'm going to have my own agenda. You see, sometimes I think, oh, I know, I say, God, I think you don't quite understand. And so, in this particular issue, maybe I'm a little smarter than you. Ever feel that way? That God just doesn't quite get it. Lacking trust in God's providence is an unwillingness to submit to his agenda. And when I don't submit to his agenda, I try to control the agenda myself. And then I start to worry because my agenda doesn't work. And I know it won't work. So what are a few, and I'll take 5 minutes and just talk about a few practical strategies about dealing with worry. Well, the first one I think is very practical. Not something I like doing, but very practical. Admit that you've been sinning by worrying. And then confess it to the Lord and repent. Repent of that your life is too organized around earthly things. Repent that you haven't been giving him his place as sovereign Lord. He wants to hear you confess. He wants to hear me confess that the sins that drive my anxiety are idols in my life and I need to get rid of them. He wants us to be totally honest. And my honest confession will be used by God to build a relationship with him that will give me peace. Another strategy, he wants us to commit to knowing him better. I could spend ages on this, but I'm not going to. But go to Proverbs chapter 2 and read the first 5 verses. And it ends up this way. It says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Look back at the conditions for that. He wants us to commit to sincere prayer and to a special type of prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving. In Philippians 4, it's mentioned that we read in 1 Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you." Psalm 118:29 says, "Give thanks to the Lord for his good, his love endures forever." And that's repeated at least 4 times in the Psalms, and maybe more. It's really difficult to worry about something you're thanking God for. And so, if I can honestly say, "Thank you, God, for this problem, because I know that this problem has been given for my good, to make me more like your son." If I can honestly do that, I won't have to worry about it. I won't be worrying about it. He wants us to commit on focusing on today. A lot of people who are serious worriers focus on tomorrow and on what can happen in the future. There's nothing wrong with making plans, but we should always make plans that are subject to God's alteration. In other words, "Lord, I need to make my plans, but if you have a different plan, you're free to put it into my life." So, it's about today. And what did the Lord say in Matthew 6? What did he give as an antidote to worry? He gave an antidote: "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He's saying, if you want to get rid of your worrying, start to serve me. Get involved in my ministry. Get involved in serving what I do. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, Lord, I'd like to serve you, but I have to get over this problem first." But he says, focus not on tomorrow, but on today. Serve him today. And then we need to train our minds, and this is probably one of the more difficult things to do. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just." If I'm going to do this, I have to get rid of some of the lies that come with worry. You know, sometimes I think the world really needs me to take control of my situation. Well, let's just remind ourselves that the world is not out of control. You may be worrying about a number of things, but God is not worrying about them at all. God is in control. It may be out of my control, and that's why I worry. So if I can accept the fact that God is wise, he's powerful, he's loving and holy, then I can put those things, leave those things under his control. The truth is that if I worry, it will not change a thing. One writer said, "We need to reject all the lies that contain the word more or the word different. You know, I would be happier if I had more friends, more money, more time, and more respect. I would be happier if I had a different job, a different house, a different church, different spouse." Those are things that people get all worked up about. We need to take them out of our vocabulary because they're fundamentally false. It wouldn't make any difference. So I need to ask God to help me to anchor my mind on what is true. then I need to work out my problems in a sort of, I'm going to call it a biblical way. Philippians 4:9 said, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. You know, I believe that the biggest problem I have as a Christian is that I believe many things that I don't actually put into practice. I need to put into practice certain things. I need to put into practice a lifestyle of contentment. And a lifestyle of contentment comes from loosening my grip on all the things that I think are important in this life. I need to, in order to put into practice a lifestyle of contentment, to get to know Christ better. I need to allow God to be sovereign in my life and accept all his providential acts. But these are things I have to practice at, work on. Practice means that I may fail sometimes, but I have to get back. Don't give up. I have to get back to working on these things if I don't want to worry. I need to train my mind to think about things that are true or eternal. And I'm going to end up with just one practical, very practical thing that you can do if you're worried. I suggest that you write down everything you worry about. I'm a big believer in using paper and pencil or pen. Write down everything you worry about and then make three categories. One that only God can deal with. One that I can deal with. And third column, what am I going to do? So you may not be able to do anything about the future of your straying child or straying teenager. You may not be able to do anything about that. So that's under God's control. But then there is maybe something that you could do, reaching out to him in a more loving way than you've been doing in the past, or praying more for him. A father once said to me, my son has given up the faith. He's turned aside, and he's only in the last year of high school. And he was very concerned. So we got together and we prayed. But the father didn't just pray. He was a very busy man at a high-level job. And he took 3 weeks off immediately after we had prayer. And he spent the whole 3 weeks with his son. And at the end of the 3 weeks, his son came to Christ. So there are things that we can do. He wasn't there to condemn his son. He wasn't there to scold his son. But it was a little act of faith he took. And so every day God calls us to take those little acts of faith. We can do things. So, once again, make that list all the things you're worrying about. Category, what can God, the things that only God can do, some things that I might be able to do, and what am I going to do? When am I going to start? Let me close with this one final verse from Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep me in perfect peace. You'll keep him in perfect peace. Those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. Perfect peace, because they trust in a God who we can trust in. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the God you are. I thank you for the power, the wisdom, all the attributes that you have. I thank you, Father, that you have made yourself available to each one of us as your children. Father, I pray that we might loose our grip on things that are not important, that we might get to know you better and your son, that we might give you the proper place that you should have in our lives as sovereign God. We might trust all your providential acts as things that will bring good into our lives. And then, Father, believing all these things, that we might practice them. Yes, Lord, we fail, but we want to start over again. We want to do what you ask us to do. We want to stop worrying. We ask these things now in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.